This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You're on Saturday Magazine with Macca and with Paul this morning. Macca, who's our next guest?
Well, it's our next guest is Dr. David Gould. And David's done a PhD, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, David, on Surviving Under the Radar. Male homosexual lived experience in post-Second World War Australia. Is that a fair summation?
Yes, it is. That's it, the exact title of it, yes.
So, David,
I'm going to take you out of the hole for a second.
Why?
David, we've been talking this morning about different terms used for sexuality for males. I'm gonna, before we just jump into your work, because I think it's got some relevance, the word queer over the last, 100 years or so has been used many times, mostly in a derogatory sense. And we've had feedback this morning that it's a bad word to use. In more modern times, we've tried to reclaim the word. Just from your experience and the work that you've done, what's your view of using that term and the reclamation of it?
Well, it's a problematic term in the sense that I totally agree that it's a great word to encapsulate all of our different communities. But I think for someone like myself who is 63 and the men who I interviewed who were older than that, it's somewhat problematic in that it wasn't a term that has been used by that generation or my own generation. But having said that, I concede that it's probably a good term to use right now, yes.
Thank you. I think that's consistent with the feedback we've had from many of our messages and our listeners this morning, so thank you for that. Okay, tell us a bit about this great piece of work, Surviving Under the Radar.
Yes, well, I guess I started it because I had a very close friend who unfortunately died 2 years ago at the age of 89, and he used to tell me stories about his life during the 1940s and 50s and after. And what struck me is that the stories always seemed to be about fun and about having a good time, and that didn't seem to gel with the type of history that we've had written for the period. And so I wanted to find out what was already there and to try and discover a bit more. And in fact, I found out that post-war homosexual history, post-war Second World War homosexual history, there really wasn't a great deal written about it. And so I decided to do my PhD, and I ended up interviewing 27 men who were all over the age of 74 and largely in their late 70s, 80s and 90s.
Wow. They'd have a story to tell. And what's the overwhelming narrative there, David? What's something that came through in this?
I think two things came through, and the second was rather surprising in a way. The first was that, yes, it was a dark decade or 2 decades for homosexual men because, of course, male homosexual sex was illegal and in Victoria until 1980. And it was a time when homosexuality was connected to mental illness and illegality and immorality and pedophilia. It was also connected to a lack of maturity and it was viewed as an aberration from the normal. And so these men were young adults in a world that was very hostile to them. But despite the fact that it is true that for many, many men, probably the majority, the world wasn't a great world and one in which they found it hard to live. The flip side of the coin was that I found in my studies there were a number of men who had an absolute ball during that period.
I think, look, one of the thing that, you know, having, you know, knowing some men of that age is, it was an incredible, you know, it was an incredibly difficult time to be a gay man. It was a very dangerous time to be a gay man. But that there were, opportunities or little communities that flourished and supported each other. And I don't just mean flourished, you know, sexually, but in terms of their sexuality and their understanding of who they were. And that's a really positive thing, isn't it? That it
is.
It was underground in so many ways, but it was a very positive thing.
Yes, and I'm glad you used that word communities, because it's a bit of a contested word, and I actually use it in my thesis because I think these men, they didn't have communities in the sense that they were in any way organised, certainly not politically, but they did have communities in terms of social communities. And men basically passed the word around about where they could gather and how they could meet other men. But I guess also going back to that, this flip side of the whole story, there were also many men for whom the silence around homosexuality lasted basically all their lives, and certainly during that period. And so there were groups of men who understood how to contact other homosexual men, and it was those men who found community and found ways of being able to live in a way that made them happy and contented for the main. But there were also many, many men who didn't even know about that.
And, you know, sure, there were places where some men knew they might be able to connect, you know, the Woolshed Bar at the Australia, but that's 60s more than, but, you know, things like magazines that had people would put ads in them, and you'd send a note back with a little number on the envelope inside another envelope, and they would send it on for you to contact other men of similar interests. So I believe.
Yes. Although I think possibly that was probably more into the 60s than it was even during the 1940s and 50s. But I can tell you one interesting story about notes. One man, his name was Tristan. He was in the bar in the Australia Hotel. This was during the 1950s. And he didn't know anyone. But interestingly, of course, in those times, women were not allowed in the bars. So it was just perfect space for homosexual men, because there was cover. The fact that it was a bar full of men didn't raise eyebrows at all. And Tristan was there one night and didn't really know anyone. But when he got home, he found that somebody had slipped a little note into his pocket, and it told him that on the following night, there was a private party at a private house if he would like to turn up. So he turned up to this house, and all the windows were locked so that you couldn't see anything, but he could hear loud music, and he rapped on the door, and the music was immediately stopped, and a man came to the door, saw who he was, invited him in, and then he said he was absolutely thrilled to find that he was in a room with homosexual men who were dancing and eating and drinking and having a great time.
David, it sounds amazing that through the research you've managed probably to help 27 people live or relive those experiences they've had, because I'm sure there was probably...
Feel better about them.
Yeah, lots of light and lots of shade, but stories like that are just, you know, heartwarming, that people were actually able to get a little bit of life and live themselves. How many of those 27 stories have you managed to capture in this? Are there lots of vignettes like that peppered through your thesis?
Yes, absolutely. I've used stories from all of the 27 men, because it's interesting what you were just saying about the fact that they were able to communicate with each other, because one of the themes that runs through it for those men for whom life wasn't very good is the silence around homosexuality. It simply wasn't talked about. And even homosexual men didn't use the term homosexual or any other term with each other to describe each other. And when I asked men, but how did you talk about each other? How did you say there was another man who was homosexual? They actually just used body language, just a nod to say, yes. He's one of us. So there was this silence around the whole subject. And, of course, that made it very difficult for men who didn't know about these communities and weren't able to access them.
David, thank you very much for coming on today. It's been a delight talking with you. Dr. David Gore's a thesis on Surviving Under the Radar, Male Homosexual Lived Experience in Post-Second World War Australia. Worth a Google. It sounds like a great piece of work.
It is.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.